Welcome to the Seeds Uniting Church podcast. For more information and other resources, you can visit our website at seedschurch.org. Now enjoy this inspiring message from our Sunday morning service.
Movies are amazing. Such a powerful form of communication. We've all experienced it. And, you know, I think even when movies are not necessarily setting out to tell the gospel, not necessarily written by Christians or directed by Christians, but yet I think the most powerful movies that, you know, we're drawn to all have a gospel theme in them, because every heart is designed to be drawn to the gospel. And so when we see it in a movie or we hear it in a song or in a great story, our hearts are just drawn to it. To me, it's just further proof of God's existence and his love for us, that he has put in us this desire to connect with him. And so when we hear those truths, in whatever form they come in, we, you know, it awakens and stirs something in our hearts. And I think as believers, we should be praying for more Christian directors and writers to rise up, to really make the most of this medium, because, you know, movies can reach people where a preacher never could. You know, when they're in that cinema, the walls can come down in unexpected ways and things can pierce the heart. So I just think it's really a powerful and incredible tool that God uses, despite the intentions of the filmmaker or the writer, that God can be at work. And it's great for us to be discerning as we watch movies, to recognize where God's speaking. And of course, there's a lot of negative stuff that we can see in a movie, but you know, there's so much good to hear if we have ears to listen as well. So we're going to look into a Disney movie. And I love Disney movies as a child, I'm sure. Lots of who loved Disney growing up or still does? Never too old. But they had such a profound impact on me. You know, the adventure, the romance, and it would just stir my heart and inspire me to dream about what my life would be like and what could happen. And, you know, but unfortunately, I think it is a common experience that so often as we come out of childhood, you know, we experience maybe some more hardship or pain or disappointment, and we feel a bit disillusioned about our life. And we come to see movies not so much as an inspiration about what our lives could be like, but as an escape from reality. And the best we can hope for in this life is that we can have some moments of escape from the painful reality that we have to exist in. And if that is how you feel this morning, I have good news for you this morning, that the best movie can only ever hint at the epic romance and adventure that we are actually in at this very moment. But you might be asleep in the middle of it. It happens to the best of us. The best of us can fall asleep in the best movie, but that's all right. All it might take is just a little shake and a prod to remind you that, wake up, you are in the best story of all time, and you don't want to miss it. So let's see how Tangled reveals to us a gospel message this morning. So let's start with the introduction. So here's Rapunzel trapped in a tower with someone claiming to be her mother. And she grows up in the tower not knowing her true birth parents or her true identity. But every year the lights that that the king and queen lit on her birthday, they light them every year. The whole kingdom lights these lanterns and lets them up each year on the princess's birthday in hope that one day the lost princess will return. And unbeknownst to Rapunzel, she watches those lights from her tower window every year, and something about them is drawing her and calling to her, but she doesn't understand what. But eventually the pull to go out and discover becomes greater than her desire to obey her mother and stay hidden in the tower. So one day she gets an opportunity when Flynn Rider, who's narrating the story at the beginning, he's an on-the-run criminal who's actually just stolen the lost princess's crown from the kingdom, and he's running away, stumbles upon the tower, finds a way in. Rapunzel knocks him out with a frying pan, shoves him in the cupboard, and hides him there until Mother Gothel goes away for a few days. And she demands that Flynn be her guide to go and see the lights and to bring her back safely, and at which point Rapunzel promises to return the crown to Flynn and he can go on his way. So he reluctantly agrees and they begin their adventure. And it's a great story of ups and downs and humor and song. And along the way, of course, Rapunzel and Flynn get to know each other and start to fall in love. And so the stage is set. They arrive in the kingdom and they have a great afternoon dancing and singing and discovering the beauties in the kingdom. And then they get into a boat to watch the lanterns be lit. And it's this magical scene in the movie. They sing this beautiful song, "At Last I See the Light," as the lanterns go into the sky. And you just feel like everything is just about to fall into place and every wrong in Rapunzel's life is about to be made right. When Mother Gothel, who discovers that Rapunzel has left, comes and sows some more lies and deceit into Rapunzel so that she doubts Flynn's intentions. Flynn is taken off to prison and Rapunzel goes home dejected back to the tower, believing again that Mother Gothel is the only one who really cares about her and really loves her, which, as we know, is the opposite of the truth. And, you know, just to pause in this story, I think all of us can relate maybe to that moment of in life having our hopes rise and to just dream of possibilities or things begin to happen, or we hope for things to happen in our life that we're just really excited about and we look forward to, and then there can be that moment where disappointment or disillusionment or grief or loss happens, leaving us feeling deflated and disillusioned, like, I was foolish to believe for so much, or how could anything that good be true? So we find Rapunzel in that moment, dejected, returning to the tower with the hopes of love and the hopes of what those lanterns meant for her, coming to nothing, or so it seems. But just as for Rapunzel, this is not the end of the story. I encourage you, if you're feeling that way, that in life you've been disappointed and deflated and disillusioned, not to believe that that's the end of your story or that is the place to land, because in every good story, a twist is coming and the wrongs will be made right. And that is even more true for us as we serve Jesus, who promises to work all things for our good. So here we find her back in the tower. And as she lies there reflecting on the events of the last few days, she reflects on the mosaic of the lost princess she saw in the kingdom. She begins to see on her ceiling all these sun emblems that she's painted. That is the emblem of the kingdom that she's seen all throughout the day. And she remembers herself wearing the crown and looking in the mirror. And everything just falls into place. And in a moment, she just realizes, I am the lost princess. And the reality dawns on her. She stumbles out of her room in shock and disbelief. And she says quietly, I am the lost princess. Mother Gothel, irritated and grumpy, responds, stop mumbling, Rapunzel. And then Rapunzel looks up at her captor and says with a boldness and an authority, I am the lost princess. The look of fear on Mother Gothel's face is priceless, because she knows the game is over. She only had power over Rapunzel as long as she believed the lies. And now that that power is gone, all she has is brute force as she tries to keep Rapunzel in the tower. In the meantime, Flynn has escaped from prison and has come to Rapunzel's rescue. But as he enters the tower, Gothel stabs Flynn and he's lying there dying. Rapunzel knows her only chance of saving him is to use her power of her hair to heal him. So she begs Mother Gothel to allow her to do so and promises that she will stay with Mother Gothel forever if she will just allow this act of mercy. So Mother Gothel sees this, that this is a good idea, that instead of having to drag Rapunzel with her, Rapunzel will go with her if she only does this. And so she begins to sing the song to bring healing. But Flynn realizes that this is the thing that Mother Gothel wants from Rapunzel. And so the only way to truly set her free is to cut her hair, which he does. He grabs a shard of glass, cuts her hair. In that moment, he loses his opportunity, or so he thinks, for his own healing, but he sacrifices his life in order that her freedom would be complete. The moment her hair is cut, we see Mother Gothel begin to age rapidly and then turn to dust as she falls out of the tower. Her power is completely broken. And then, of course, it's not the end for Flynn. As Rapunzel leans over him with tears, the teardrops go into him and bring a healing power to him. And he's brought back from the verge of death. They go together to the kingdom. And the final scene is one of such tenderness and beauty. I just remember watching my niece when she was, must have been 4 or 5, watching it. And it was just so beautiful. She was a very expressive child. And just, her eyes and her face as she just like took in the emotion of it was so priceless. I encourage you, if you haven't seen it, you must watch it. But Rapunzel's parents are just, they've been told the news. The lost princess has been found, but it's like, it's too good to be true. Could she really be coming home after all this time, after all those years of grief and aching for their lost daughter? And then they come and see her on the balcony, and they recognize that it is their daughter. And just the you see that beautiful image of just the family being brought back together again. The lost princess has finally come home. So, where do we start? With a movie like this, I think you can sense there's some amazing, beautiful analogies to the gospel here, not least of which is Flynn's sort of brilliant act of sacrificial love as he's willing to die himself in order to see Rapunzel set free. But the thing that really impacts me about this movie and that I really want to share with you tonight, this morning, it's been a long morning, obviously, is that lost princess moment, that we're all the lost princess. And if you haven't had a moment in your life of revelation and realization that I am the lost princess, then maybe this morning is your moment. But perhaps the princess thing doesn't work so good for some of you. But how about I am the lost child? We're all God's children. It's the kind of news that's so good that it is really hard to believe sometimes. But it is our reality, and we need to, as the people of God, wake up to the power and beauty of the gospel once again and to realize what the implications are. If the truth sets us free, what is it to know the truth? Because the truth is more than just an academic knowledge or knowing something. The truth is Jesus. And Jesus is a person that we come to know. It's not just a knowing of our head knowledge, like, yes, Jesus is my Lord. It's a knowing from the heart. He came that we would be his own flesh and blood family. He wants nothing less than that. That is what he came for, and that is what he fights for us. Let's have a look at a few beautiful scriptures that help us. And I hope this morning you can really drink this in and take this in for the first time, as though it's new if you've heard it before. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. It doesn't get any more epic than that. We were in darkness, and he transferred us into the kingdom of light. And not just, you know, a generic kingdom with the sun shining. It's like the kingdom of the beloved Son that he loves. We're not just servants in this kingdom. We're family. That's scandalous that God would bring us into his family. He purchased our freedom. with his own blood. He didn't just come and unlock a cage for us. Here you go, come out. He died so that we could be free. Allow that to penetrate your heart once more. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. First, we'll look at this slide of this really makes me teary, not just because Shane's so good looking, but just that look on his face as he gazes at our youngest child, Zipporah, before she can really even give eye contact or offer anything in return apart from dirty nappies. The love that is there, and this love of a father for their child, that is only a hint of how your heavenly Father feels about you. So allow yourself to believe for a moment or for a lifetime that that is how God looks at you as he holds you. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. You can keep going with that. I think there's a bit more. All praise to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered us with kindness. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Wow. You can't really make the good news better than it is. It's so good. It will take us a lifetime and eternity to continue to comprehend the amazing love that has been poured out for us. But this morning, God's presence is here. And he's speaking to us and he's drawing us to himself. He's not just letting off once a year on your birthday lights into the sky to try and call you home and to remind you who you are. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light of the world came into our darkness in order to bring us into his family. This is what he's done for you. It's more beautiful, it's more epic than Rapunzel's story Entangled. It's more true and it's more comprehensive than anything we could hope or dream of. So allow your heart to dream again, because you cannot be disappointed when you put your hope in Christ. And while this life, we know we have pain and difficulty, and in that Colossians verse, it talks about strength and endurance and joy, because we need that in the journey. But nothing compares. No suffering can compare with the splendor yet unrevealed that is in store for us as God's children. And that is more than enough to fill us with joy and hope, knowing we can dream unafraid of disappointment and disillusionment, because he promises to be with us always and to work all things for good, so we can celebrate and rejoice even in the darkest of our days, because he is with us and we are with him. We are his children, and he is bringing us back into his family. Jesus is our truth, our life, and our light. He is our brother, and he has reconnected us with the Father. I think we all need a I'm the lost princess moment. And Jesus longs to wrench us free from the lies that keep us from him. Our identity as believers never changes. We are his children always, but there's times we fail to walk in the authority and the boldness and the joy of that because we've believed a lesser thing. We've believed the lies that have been told us. It's time to believe what God says about you and to make that the most powerful, influential voice in your life. We are his children, partakers in the inheritance. That's something to discover and unpack. We're ambassadors of his kingdom. If we aren't living free like his children, what lie are we believing that is holding us back? Let's allow the truth of who we are, beloved children of the King, of all kings, to flood us afresh. Drink it in, believe. It's not too good to be true. It's the gospel, and it's even better than you could dare hope or imagine. Let me pray.